last time on D&D.
What are you doing with our Iron Defender? Have you no decency?
And why would you say that this is yours?
All of a sudden, Scrappy gets a little aggressive, and he starts attacking Erd.
What are you doing, man? It's crazy. Hey, get back, get back. What are you?
Clearly, the likes of you three can't handle such a fine magical creature. Garm, you notice a pristine white rose.
Guys, how do you think this is still alive?
We saw haunted armor and a magical rug attack us, and you're concerned about a rose?
Welcome to the Fireweed Bazaar. Your attire is our...
I just turn around and shout, desire!
Is our desire.
Orange Eyes presents a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition campaign. DM'd by Alex LeFerrier. Starring
Andrew Gallagher playing Erd.
Ian Selig playing Garum.
And John Selig playing Graf.
Eberron Chronicles, Oracle of War, Season 2.
Like a shattered piece of ice across a frozen lake. Your memories are fragmented and forming. You find yourselves back at 10 Xerinthir. Midwinter, the month of the storm, 998 YK. And there you stand, outside the giant fog wall, about to step into the Mornland, heading to Kalazart, with your crate of stuff given to you by members of Salvation. When something catches your eye, can't quite tell, but hasn't been any markings of sorts. You haven't been keeping track, but you feel like the wall of fog of the Mornland has come closer. Has this fog wall been moving? Is this fog wall expanding by half a foot, 3 feet? You're not quite sure.
Do you mean it's expanding as we're standing there, or since the last time we...
Since the last time you've been here, it feels like this wall, you know, was that rock further away from the fog wall? Is that tree, like, now half in the fog? I'm not...
It can be expanding, right? It's got to just be some illusion.
Yeah, there are no rules to this place. Expand, contract, whatever. Up, down, left, right. Nothing's right here.
Grafton shakes his head.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Is there a tree nearby?
There is a tree nearby.
I just try to take a quick mental note of how close the tree is to the fog.
You do your best. You guesstimate it's probably 100 yards or so. It's quite a large distance, though. It'd be tough to tell if it's moving very slightly.
It's good enough. There's a big change, I'll know.
Sorry, when is this?
Right before we go into the gray.
Was that always midwinter?
Yep, which is just a name. It's not actually snowy here.
You've noticed some chills. You've noticed, yeah, there's definitely a feel in the air. But the climate is very temperate around here. And yeah, no snow yet.
I think we'd be ready to get in there and get through the fog, yeah. So we see it encroaching closer to us, and Erd just thinks, one less step to take. Next time, let's go.
And as you head into the Mornland, the sun sets off in the horizon. And as you gather yourselves and make your way towards the fog wall, the setting sun seems to set behind the giant head of the Warforged Colossus.
I hope Big Mo's okay.
And the IP seems to ignite. Is it lit by the sun, or is it lit on its own? You're not quite sure.
I just hope we're not around when that thing gets reanimated.
Very good point.
And you step into the fog. So you're navigating through the Mornland. This is a place you're becoming quite uncomfortable with. Garum, roll a d20.
18.
You managed to navigate successfully through the Mornland without suffering any ill effects. Perhaps it's your perseverance and aptitude through dangerous, harsh terrain. Perhaps a little bit of luck on your side. And again, now at the Fireweave Bazaar, you've found yourselves navigating through the Hall of Illusions and the mirrors and the different advertisements showing you wonderful attire on your reflections. It's a strange avenue filled with dazzling magic and tinkling enchantments. Atop the second floor, with the secret salon that you've managed to uncover, you're looking out across the balcony where you spot a warforge in the distance. Garam, you've been looking deeply at this white rose that you found.
It's just so beautiful.
The way you are situated, you're 20 feet above everything, and 10 feet down, you can see the balcony where that warforge stands.
Oh, wait, hey, do you think that's Sprocket?
The way the balconies are situated, there is a platform that you could use to circumnavigate along the hallways here of the Fireweave Bazaar. Perhaps it's like an access point or an entryway to the top levels of all the shops, or you could double back to the Hall of Illusions again and navigate across the main ground and continue exploring the various rooms and stalls that you have a map for.
How far is Sprocket?
It's about 45 feet away.
The alleged Sprocket. So you said he's on a balcony, right?
It's a balcony, yep, connected to the shop in the corner there. And presumably it's an overhang of sorts, perhaps connected to whatever that shop or stall or venue is. It's not marked on your map, so you're not quite sure exactly what it could be.
Yeah, like I envisioned him lower. Like I was thinking we could send Scrappy down with a note on him to potentially like say Sprocket on it or something. Or just to say that we're there for him. Or I don't know, to confirm that he is Sprocket. We don't know he's Sprocket, but we think he might be. But we're not sure yet, so we could at least send Scrappy in to deal with that. Since he's a Warforge, maybe he sees this mechanized dog and feels better seeing him. But obviously, I think that plan is scrapped.
That's a good maybe pile option.
Yeah.
Would I be able to sneak up and gain any info by observing him more closely?
There's like overhangs that are connected to this balcony that you could then traverse at this height of 20 feet. You guys have the advantage right now where you are not seeing what you have seen them. It.
I don't feel too good about us going across those balconies and being sneaky sneak.
Yeah, because if we do end up being spotted, it could be seen as an attack.
You two Boy Scouts. Where's the fun in that?
I mean,
he seems to be on watch, though, right? Or does he seem to be on watch?
Make a wisdom insight check.
18.
It's definitely the posture and positioning of someone who's on watch.
I mean, we're supposed to all be friends, right? So what if we just walk up and we're like, hey, are you Sprocket?
We know Kali, and we're looking to help, right?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good.
Graf's uncomfortable with using honesty as a suggestion, but I think it might just work this time.
Erd, do you have any thoughts?
I don't know. We could try the sneaky sneak approach. We could just try being straight up with him. Or we could just yell across the courtyard and see what happens. Yo, Sprocket, what's up? I was thinking, you saw those whistling arrows too. That could be some sort of diversion as well, if we need that in our back pocket. We got Scrappy with us too, as another possible option.
All of your suggestions are like, let's send our murderous robot dog after him, or let's shoot a screeching arrow near him.
Yeah, probably not good.
No, they are good ideas, but I think honesty could be our best bet here, because if he's going to attack us, he's going to attack us.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, sure.
So should we circle back down to the Hall of Mirrors and approach the right way?
Is there anything that could break our fall if we wanted to jump down?
Yeah, like directly underneath you, there's a stall, you know, a canvased cover stall, as you can see, lining the passageways all about you. You could jump down on one of those, Indiana Jones style, you know, through the tarps.
I like that.
I'll give it a try.
Do we want to surprise him, though?
Would he notice that if we tried to jump down?
Well, that's what
I imagine he would, absolutely. He's on lookout.
Probably not. That's not going to work well.
Okay, so we'll go around and do it the right way. I'm just worried that if we do, he's going to have disappeared by the time we get there.
We could use the clairvoyance. Well, it's probably not the time to use it, but you could use the clairvoyance and leave a little window into this room to make sure he doesn't leave. But I don't think that's worth using.
I mean, one of us could also just stay here, but also it's just right around the corner.
That's a good idea, actually. You know, Garam, maybe you stay up there with your arrow, since you're the archer of the bunch. And Graf and I walk down with Scrappy, send Scrappy in first, and we know he's going to be there. So as we round the corner, maybe we just yell, hey, Sprocket, we know you're there.
Maybe be less aggressive with that and maybe just be like, oh, hey, are you Sprocket? We've heard about you. We're looking for you.
Hi there.
Hi there. Are you Sprocket?
Yeah, there you go, Erd.
Okay, yeah. So Graf and I will play our best Boy Scout with our murderous dog a little behind us. And you stay at the ready up on top of the balcony in case shit goes down.
All right. All right. I don't know how the actual Boy Scout feels about sending you two to play Boy Scout, but we can try this.
I can stay up top too if you want to.
I heard splitting the party is a good idea, so I think this will be great.
Well, we're just going around though, right? Through the Hall of Mirrors, that's it.
Off you go.
And he can jump down if he needs to, so let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We've talked about this for way too long. Lead the way, Erd.
As they go to leave, just in case, I pull out my bow and arrow. I get everything ready on the off chance that something bad happens, but I don't even pull the string back. I just have it ready to go in my hands.
Sure thing. And you guys circle back around.
As we walk through the Hall of Mirrors, I look over to Graf and me and Scrappy as we're going through, and I look over again to see what our costumes are this time.
Yes, navigating through the Hall of Mirrors, you continue to see beautiful enchantments on your reflection. Big pauldrons of lace and leather. Armor that just shimmers, more fashionable than functional.
Seeing this gives Erd a little bit more confidence going into the situation, making him feel a little bigger of himself, probably as the mirrors were designed to do.
It definitely boosts your ego, that's for sure. And as you guys navigate through these Hall of Mirrors, you're just enchanted. Getting to the end, you look down the hallway and you can see entrances to other stalls and other shops. One of these covered stalls looks very appealing to you.
Hey, what's that, Graf?
To both of you. It just catches your eye. It's something that sticks out. As you look down the hallway, one of these stalls is a little booth. It has sort of a glass compartment and like a little slot where you can put coins in, and it seems to have a figure with one eye, and it's like a mannequin inside, and on the top it says, "Learn your future, 2 silver pieces." Seems to be a fortune teller.
Well, Erd, it looks like a little booth that has a coin slot where you could put some money inside, and there's a giant eye on top, and you could learn your fortune.
Do you really want to know what's in your future, Graf?
Gotta know the rules so you can break them.
Like the way you think.
But you first, Erd.
I'm all right. I let the cards fall where they go. How about you, Graffy boy?
Fine. All right. Graf, having his bluff called, will go up and put a coin in.
2.
From my vantage point up on the balcony, can I see them?
Garim definitely sees Graf and Erd taking a little sidetrack to this stall with Scrappy.
So at this point, I believe that Graf has already put in the money, right?
Graf has put 2 silver pieces in the slot, and there's a little brass disket above it, seeming as if you place your hand on it as you ask your question.
So as I see them doing all of this, I immediately am just like, I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed. I knew something like this would happen. And so many thoughts are racing through my mind. They're getting distracted. They're wasting our money. They're probably going to do something that's loud and will alert Sprocket that we're here and give away our position and completely destroy our plan. But Garim doesn't want to shout out to anyone because that'll also alert Sprocket. So I'm just watching, fuming.
We got it handled.
So what happened when I put the coins in?
So the figure, it's like this little deformed hag with one eye. The little mannequin arms reach up and pop out its eye and starts rolling it around in its hands. And just this mechanical voice just starts piping up.
What is your question?
And the little brass plate has a little ring of light around it.
So I can ask any question?
Is that your question?
No. That was John. That was not Graf. As soon as I said that, I was like, fuck.
This is a fortune teller device that uses the augury spell.
by casting gem inlaid sticks, rolling dragon bones, laying out ornate cards, or employing some other divine tool, you receive an omen from an otherworldly entity about the results of a specific course of action that you plan to take within the next 30 minutes. DM chooses from the following possible omens. Wheel for good results, woe for bad results. Wheel and woe for both good and bad results. Nothing for results that aren't especially good or bad.
Okay. So Graf, I mean, Graf's just, okay. How do I word this correctly?
Yeah. It's going to be a monkey paw, like wish.
I put my hand on the disc and I look into the strange eye and Graf just says, is Callie still one of us?
And the hag figure holds the eye out at you and brings it back and starts rolling it around in her hand, and her just empty eye socket starts glowing this ominous purple glow. Half of it looks real and the other half looks a bit mechanical and rough. And before you know it, she dumps her eye and a bunch of dice just start rolling out, clattering into the spot in front of her. And then she takes the eye and starts examining the dice. And then sticks her eye back in her head. A ticket dispenses from the machine.
Is your lucky numbers, Graf?
We're about to find out. I'll take the ticket.
It says wheel.
And what did that mean, Andrew?
For good results? Wheel for good results? So that's a yes? Allegedly?
Graf just thinks for a second, crumples the paper, puts it in his pocket. We're on a mission, Erd. Stop getting distracted with carny games.
Oh, I'm sorry, you know me. I just like anything that's festive and can waste a little bit of your money.
You know how mad Garum's going to be at us if we get distracted.
We don't want to get him mad. Let's go. So we start making our way out.
Throughout this entire time, Garum is looking down on them and just like flabbergasted that they went through all of this. And Garum will continue to just glare at them in case they happen to look up and check to see if I'm watching.
So we're going to make our way out. Graf and I are going to walk shoulder to shoulder with our Scrappy boy. What do you think, John? Scrappy should be behind us?
Yeah, I don't think Scrappy is the face of the group.
So as we're walking over, Erd kind of mumbles over to Graf, you know, hey, let Scrappy stay back here. You know, let's not let him know who we got with us, okay? Just you and me walk forward, and Scrappy boy looking down to him. You stay back, boy, all right? But be ready. And Graf and I walk shoulder to shoulder. We glance up to Garum, and Erd kind of mouths, you won't believe what's in there, as they start making their way forward.
I just shake my head and watch.
So as you start passing by the decrepit stalls and collapsed shops, you make your way around the bend, and there, directly in front of you, 10 feet up, the Warforged stands.
Graf just steps forward, says, hi, we're here to find the Grey Dogs. We're looking for Kali. Are you Sprocket?
The Warforged slowly nods.
Are you guys okay? This place seems pretty weird.
And then the Warforged starts turning left and right, looking for the way down from the balcony, and spots the stairs and back into the shop, and start singling you guys over.
Okay. I kind of give a nod up to Garum, like, hey, get down here. And I nod to Erd, and slowly we start to follow.
Erd nods back and looks to Scrappy and kind of signals him. Can I give Scrappy orders too, Graf?
Yeah.
Yeah, you all can. Graf just has, like, control in battle.
Oh, okay, cool.
As the Warforged gets off the balcony, it doesn't see you guys signal to Garum at all.
So upon seeing that signal, I wait until the Warforged is halfway down the stairs or he's in the shop and I can't really see him anymore. And I jump off the balcony I'm on onto the awning underneath and try and land on the ground as quietly as possible.
Make a dexterity acrobatics check.
That's a 19.
Like a death leopard, you jump off and land on your feet skillfully. And as you land, the Warforge crests the corner of the shop in the corner of the Fireweave Bazaar passageway there and stops suddenly, seeing Garum. You seem to be multiplying. Pointing at the three of you.
It's just the three of us and our friend here. And I motion to Scrappy.
He's with us, don't worry.
What an amazing looking creature. You are lucky to be traveling with such a companion.
Yeah, we're lucky to have Garum with us too, but you know, let's talk business as we start walking over to who we presume to be Sprocket.
So this sleek, slender Warforged is constructed of dark tinted metal and stone. If it was any darker in this Fireweave Bazaar, you might have just lost sight of it completely. And you convene outside one of the rusted out, burnt out stalls.
What happened? Erd asks bluntly.
There was a horrible incident here 4 years ago. It has become known as the Day of Mourning.
Now what happened to you, the Grey Dogs? They've been looking for you and salvation. You've been gone for weeks now.
The Grey Dogs? The Grey Dogs. They are around.
You're one of them, right?
Yes. Everyone make wisdom perception rolls.
3.
11.
15.
Garum and Graf, you are keen sensed, and you hear the distinct sounds of battle off in the distance.
Gee, do you hear that? It sounds like there's some commotion going on in the other room. Do you know what's happening?
It sounds fierce.
Erd, not hearing it, just looks around.
Are those your friends? Do they need help?
Yes, there is trouble. If you assist me, we may be able to help.
We're at your service.
That is great to hear. Quickly.
But one question, really quick.
And the Warforge takes a step towards the plaza.
Where's Callie?
Callie's in trouble.
And hearing that, Erd just picks up, okay, let's go.
And we follow.
We follow Sprocket and we follow the sound.
The Warforge isn't leading. He just took a step forward and is like ushering you guys to.
Oh. And we made our insight check, it sounded like. Sprocket, do you know the nature of the threat that we are walking into? What can you tell us to so we might better arm ourselves? And I'm going to try and make some kind of reading of him or inference or, insight, whatever it is. To figure out if there's something he's not telling us or if there's information that, yeah.
So you want to make a wisdom insight roll, yeah?
Okay. Isn't that what we just made? Am I crazy?
No, you made perception rolls and heard the sounds of battle.
Okay. 11.
There's much happening in the plaza. They need our help. You're getting a very cold and brief delivery. Obviously, as a Warforged, there's not much to go off of. There's very little body language. His words and sounds are coming through clearly. His actions are very haughty and reserved. But this Warforge is moving forward. I assume you guys at least picked up the pace or something as Erd was like reacted to Callie's in trouble.
Yeah.
Warforge is just kind of like next to you, trailing you guys.
I just sort of say, okay, got it. And then give Erd and Garum my patented little like double half wink that shows them like watch your back, something's weird.
And Erd just kind of furls his nostrils to signal back to Graf that something doesn't feel right here. Keep up our guards.
Yeah, but I still say we continue. So
what's Garum's body language? What's this rabble interconnectivity you guys have with double winks and flared nostrils? What's Garum do to signal he is on the same page?
So, to show that I heard Graf, I give my ear a little flick, like a little, like, almost as if there was, like, a fly, and I just kind of wiggle it back and forth a couple of times. But I'm still hopeful. I don't think Sprocket is double-crossing us. I think that's just how... I think that Sprocket is being as expressive as a machine can be. And I turn to him and I say... Could you please lead the way? We aren't sure where to go, but let's try and hurry.
Understood. It's right this way. As you continuously head down this passageway, the Warforge like catches up and is on the same level as you guys. So you pass by all these ruins, shops and stalls, and the sound of battle and intensifies as you definitely hear struggling going on.
So before we round the bend, I want to grab Erd and Graf by the shoulders and stop them and just turn and say, please lead the way. And I just stop in my tracks until Sprocket gets in front of us and leads our way.
And Erd just parts over to the side to Garum's delight. It's such an emergency. Why is he waiting there?
Right, yeah. The fact that he's not going ahead is making me more suspicious. And I'm a little bit worried, so.
And if he's on watch, why couldn't he save his friend who was in the little rug shop there?
Right, why wouldn't he try and help?
That gray dog, whatever his name was.
Tandor?
Tandor Khan. Whatever, guys, we can handle it.
So as you guys round the bend, you can see that the Warforged looks over you four and then starts taking a step forward. Quickly now.
And we follow behind him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we all have a bad feeling about this, but on the off chance he's just a weirdo, I think we're all driven enough and curious enough to want to know, even if we think it's a trap, you know?
Yeah, I think we can. Walking through the situation, Erd is flashed back to, you know, running with Callie and these two other guys for a year together and being in these thick situations. And he knows when shit goes down, his buddies are there for him and it can pull their own weight. And he feels more confident because of that. And Erd gets this like kind of rise and tingle of adrenaline coming forward like he hasn't had in a while. This feels like the old days.
The rabble continues forward, entering the plaza of the Fireweave Bazaar, this giant round center point of the whole establishment. Dust and mist seems to be emanating from the grounds of a battlefield when you can hear the throes of arrows lobbing back and forth and metal screeching. The thoroughfare ends in a circular plaza ringed by ruined stores. Two premises face each other across the plaza. A House Civis message station and a perfumery named Musk. Inside the perfumery, Warforged raiders clad in tattered cloaks kneel in cover, clutching crossbows. One of them yells over to the message station opposite. This land is ours now, and you'll answer to our master. Across the message station, you see two figures enter it, and a third figure trailing behind. It's a halfling. Nella Hawthorne from Sharn.
Yo!
With this image of war and battle happening and the circular ring, Erd just has this feeling like he's felt before. There's a fight going on. There's a battle happening.
Awesome.
Before that can settle, the Warforged next to Garum lashes out and stabs Garum, and it deflects off his armor.
Good thing we all twitched our various body parts. And was Erd seeing an illusion, or is there actually a halfling in here?
There's actually a halfling running into the House Civis message station. It seems that they're avoiding the attacks of the Warforged from across the plaza. Seems like arrows and crossbow bolts are flying left and right as if they're in a shootout.
But all we can see is the halfling.
The halfling has just slipped into the House Civis message station, trailing two other figures that you couldn't quite get a sight of. Erd recognizes the figure as Nella Hawthorne, a companion from a distant past. Seems surreal, especially in a place like this. It's like a ring. It's like a wrestling ring. And it just seems to trigger him. Roll for initiative.
So for Erd, roll 7 for initiative.
12.
15.
With that, the Warforged seem to be orchestrating a united attack. Tries to lash out again, this time making 2 arm blade attacks against Garum. One of them striking for 8 damage. And the Warforged signals to the other Warforged that are in the perfumery Musk. 3 more flesh bags here. And the other Warforged that have been firing towards the House Civis message station turn and acknowledge. There seems to be a lot more Warforged in the perfumery than what you can see in the plaza. Graf.
So Graf is like, of course. Of course we're here. Of course this is what's going on.
I'm going to interrupt you. It's probably also worth mentioning that when the Warforged we were assuming was Sprocket, when he was attacking me, he hit something he probably shouldn't have, and I'm losing a lot of blood.
Just like you took a lot of damage, or are you actually bleeding out?
I took a lot of damage, and I'm not doing great.
Okay. I mean, it's clear this is not Sprocket, so I guess talking to him is pointless anyway, but I kind of want to know, like, okay, you got us, but like, what is going on here, right? I'm going to start prepping an Eldritch Blast, but I'm going to look at the Warforged and say, explain.
He doesn't respond.
I'm going to look at Scrappy and say, launch two. And he's going to use Spike Force Empowered Missile, which is a ranged weapon attack, and it's plus four. So I'm going to, and it's got a 30-foot range. So I'm going to roll two of those on him. One's a 10. One is a 14.
Little spikes from the spine of Scrappy fire out and deflect off the armor of the Warforged. It's ineffective.
Just say, good boy. Graf is really getting kind of miffed with all this. He's frustrated that we walked right into this trap. He doesn't believe the slip of paper in his pocket that says Kali is his friend, but he does believe that Rene Rodriguez is his friend and has the rabble's best interest at heart. And channeling that, he unleashes a particularly empowered, agonizing blast. Natural 20, swear to God. And this purple blast of energy with golden crackle of lightning circling around this blast. And it goes straight to the Warforged's head for a whopping 12 points of damage. Wow, that was just my base. So that's 12 plus 5. So 17 damage to the Warforged's stupid face.
Your powerful Eldritch Blast jolts the Warforged. It was not expecting such powerful magic. It's standing strong, but it looks severely damaged.
Graf just kind of gives him a look that's like just unflinching, unwavering, like, I see you. I know what this is. Before my turn is over, I say, Garum needs help.
Garum.
So I do not like how any of this is unfolding. I'm grumpy about being stabbed. I'm grumpy that we walked into a trap. And so I reach in, I pull out my sword, and I unleash this loud growl as my nose and mouth kind of turn a little bit more into a snout, a little more pointed. My ears get a little bit bigger and pointier. You can see like some hair getting a little bit longer. And I go to stab this Warforged through.
Let the beast out, Garum.
That's going to be a 15 to hit.
In your fit of rage and bestial transformation, your attack pierces its armored hide.
All right. 7 points of piercing damage.
As your rage surges, you stab into the armored hide of the Warforged soldier, and it crumples down under its own weight as the life force extinguishes from its eyes. You have killed the Warforged soldier.
Nice. Now you're just a pile of metal the way you're supposed to be.
Erd, as you feel the desire to act, you get a tingling sensation in the back of your neck. From a far-off distance, Nimble is sending you telepathic emotions about the way ahead. You feel urges of rage that are immediately subsided by a sense of calmness as your eyes gaze from the perfumery to the Civis Station, back and forth from rage at Musk Perfumery back to the Civis Station. It seems Nimble is trying to guide your emotions as best as it possibly can, while alerting you to the potential outcome of each choice. You also feel that the little pea-sized crystal that you have left is giving you an opportunity. Throughout your life, you've been raging and using this thing, and it is now filled with a number of charges. It has 10 charges in it. You have the ability to, whenever you rage, to put that rage back into the crystal as another charge. You also have the ability to use this crystal to enact a rage, but instead of enhancing your strength, you can enhance any other ability. You can imagine it's like transmuting your rage from strength to charisma to intelligence. It's as if this crystal is embedded deep within your emotional core. And with the interaction with Nimble, it seems to recalibrate it and reform it in your mind, giving you the opportunity to further contain your rage within it or utilize your rage for other purposes. The choice is up to you.
Very cool. When I look over at these two over here, I'm feeling the rage peaking, right?
Correct. These are the Warforged in front of the perfumery named Musk.
And then when I look over to over here, what was that called again? That was the
House Civis Message Station. It's basically a place where people could send telecommunication messages, text messages, or vocal messages to other House Civis stations in Eberron.
And what are my feelings again looking over there?
A sense of calmness, a sense of tranquility, a sense of peace.
Erd in this moment is just boiling with all these different emotions, pulling him in one direction, you know, over to this one area where he's feeling calm and peace, and then back over to the Warforged where his rage is peaking up. And seeing Nella again brings even more rage to him, and you see Erd's skin start to kind of twitch and boil, and he just and it starts to grit down as he feels the rage, and then he's calm for a second and then rages back, and his emotions overwhelm him, and he just and the rage just boils over, and he just goes right into his barbarian rage and just starts charging towards the two Warforged. And he's going to move in a way along this wall here, so he's only in front of this one Warforged. And as he's running over and charging over, he grabs his great axe, and remembering Garum getting stabbed by this other Warforged, he is just pissed that we fell into this trap, that we messed up, and that, you know, he thought something could go wrong. But to see Garum get hurt, that ticks him off. And he goes up to the Warforged and takes his axe from behind his back and just lifts it up behind him and just tries to smack him over the head.
Erd, as you run by the wall, there's the glass window leading into Musk that you can get a glance into, and you see far more Warforged in there as well. Continue your attack.
He raises up his axe and goes for a shot with a 15.
Your axe strikes true.
So Erd strikes true on top of the head of this Warforged for 8 damage.
But it's still standing strong. So as you can see in the distance, Nella slips into the House Civis message station in the last little bit of effort. The Warforged continue their onslaught, firing bolts from the perfumery. The two Warforged that you stand next to engage you, seeing their fallen comrade, and they both swing their arm blade attacks against you. Erd's cut up tremendously as two of the arm blades slice him up for a total of 9 damage. The Warforged also seem like they have a coordinated attack. Now that they're standing so close together, it'll invoke disadvantage on anyone attacking in close range. Seems like these guys have been here for a while. The perfumery has been ransacked. There's bottles and a strong smelling stench emanating from the glass windows and doors. Arrows line the door frame coming from the House Civis message station. These guys have been in a shootout for some time. Graf.
Garum, are you still hurting?
I'm probably okay.
All right. So Scrapula and I move, and they've conveniently lumped themselves together for me, which I love.
Which bolt?
On the farther of the two Warforged's.
The one Erd hit?
Yes. All right. 21.
Roll for damage.
An arc of crackling energy lances out from my fingertips. And hurts real bad because I just rolled a 9.
The Warforged still standing strong.
Good. And then I have little Scrappy Do launch a missile at that same one. He rolls a 19, but it's still a hit, and that's going to be 8 force damage as well on the same one.
Warforged drops to its knees and it's trying to hold itself up. Its bones are shaking, its armor's clanking, but it's still standing. These are some beefy constructs. They look angry. Garum.
So I run up on all fours, I grab my sword and I just shove it right in.
You'll have disadvantage thanks to the tactics of the Warforged standing next to each other.
Does that not get countered by the fact that I'm standing next to Erd now?
No. Unless you guys have special coordinated attack ability.
Yeah, we got Rabble Attack ability.
Rabble Attack.
That only works with doggy ears and winking eyes and
and nostrils.
Nostrils.
The triple threat.
Right. A nostril attack.
It's like the whole head. And Scrappy's mouth will, his jaw will be the signal.
His tail.
So with disadvantage, I rolled a 7 and an 8. So what I'm going to do is use a hero point on that 7, which because of my attack bonus would actually be a 12. So then plus the hero point gives that up to a 16.
So you lunge forward in a burst of rage, and at first your attack just scrapes up against his armor, but you know you can find a weak spot, and you manage to plunge it in between two pieces of metal. Roll for damage, like the hero you are.
That's going to be 5 points of piercing damage.
You manage to, with your hero point, find the weakness in the armor and plunge it, and he drops to the ground. Warforge collapses under his own weight as you put the finishing touches. As you run by Musk, you glance into its window, and you can see more Warforged in the shop.
Awesome. So then the other one, I'm going to try and bite him in the neck and try to throw him to the ground. 19.
Your jaws of steel penetrate his armor of steel.
It's going to be 8 points of piercing damage from my teeth.
A pretty significant blow, but the Warforge is fighting strong. You flesh bags will fall.
Erd, maybe we should get out of here.
Garam, you smell the strong scent of perfume emanating from the store as well.
Makes sense. Guys, maybe we should fall back and go see the others.
Erd.
I'm going to have an advantage in my strength checks because I'm raging right now. So my goal is to kick this Warforge over to knock him on his ass so we can run and get out of this area.
Yep. Using the attack action, you can make a special melee attack to shove a creature, either to knock it prone or push it away from you. Instead of making an attack roll, you make a strength athletics check, contested by the target's strength athletics check or dexterity check. And if you succeed, you can knock it prone or push it 5 feet away from you.
Beautiful. Erd is sensing the danger around him, looking to his left and seeing the window and Warforge just in there and smelling the exhaust of this perfume, perks up his senses, and he knows this is probably not the place he wants to be for much longer. And in his rage state, he just lifts up his foot towards the last remaining Warforge and lifts it up, just let loose a mighty kick, channeling his wrestling days and all the different drop kicks and elbows he did in the bowels of Sharn. So since Erd is raging, he has an advantage on the strength check. The first roll is a 12. Second roll. Yeah, so that's a 15.
Ultimate Erd seems to have a comeback as he knocks the Warforge prone.
His foot connects with the chest of the Warforge as he pushes it down to the ground. And he's like, "You metallic fiend, you are!" And he looks over to Garam and he points towards the House Civis message station and just kind of like points his head over there real quick and just dashes in that direction.
So Erd takes off, leaping off the tumbled Warforge. A volley of bolts come firing out of the perfumery. The window shatters, bolts fly out, and they're just launching bolts everywhere and at each one of you. Flying past Erd, whizzing past Graf, and hitting Garm right in his side for 4 points of damage.
So I've got a couple of arrows sticking out of me, but I'm still doing all right. I'm bleeding a lot, but I'm standing.
Graf, you're up.
Graf is still maintaining this arc of multicolored lightning swirling around, and he just makes a slight adjustment to the position of his shoulders, squares them off a little bit against the floor, and the witch bolts now making contact with the still standing Warforge. Graf rolls a 11.
It crackles around him and dissolves into the ground. He's unaffected by the bolt.
Okay, so here's a question. If I continue concentrating, can I maintain it and try again next turn?
Sure.
So I'm going to do that, and I'm just going to, out of the corner of my mouth, look at Scrappy and say, "Repair." And he gets 3 hit strikes back. I'm just going to try and milk this witch bolt, and you guys can keep going, and I'll be the last one to go. Also, I didn't verbalize this, so my bad, but what I was hoping is if we can knock out both of these Warforged, hopefully we can like block the door with their corpses. That'd be kind of fun.
I don't think two bodies is enough to block an entire doorway.
Also, the window's open. They could just jump through there.
And they would just push the bodies out of the way.
I'm hearing a bunch of naysaying, but I'm not hearing a lot of solutions.
Okay. We need to retreat. That's the solution.
Kraft's like, totally, totally, totally. And he's going to keep doing what he's doing.
Garam, you're up.
The guy in front of me is knocked prone, right?
Correct.
Now, what are the effects of being knocked prone? If I were to attack him, do I have advantage or something? Like,
yes.
Okay. So I'm going to try and stab him because that's been working really well so far. A 2 and an 8. So that's going to be a 13.
Your blade slides off his breastplate and lands in the dirt.
That kind of aggravates me. So then I bite his neck. And that's going to be a 21 to hit.
Your jaws of steel again penetrate a steely hide.
And that's going to be 7 points of piercing damage.
The Warforged flails from your bite, but it is still alive.
And then I decide to take a little walk. And I'm going to go so that I'm not right in front of the doorway. I've got a little bit of... It's definitely not cover, but I'm like, I'm right near the stalls. I'm working my way around the other side.
You are out of the line of sight from the Warforged in the perfumery for sure. Erd.
Okay, so Erd smelling this perfume, it tickles the back of his nose and he gets an intuition. He thinks this perfume might be flammable and he wants to use this to his advantage.
Make an intelligence investigation roll.
1.
Smells like some dank shit. Your sights have been set on the Civis station.
Yeah, so Erd's just going to double his way over and dash in the direction of his old friend Nella.
Erd barrels into the message station. This Warforged stands up finally. The other Warforged fire out. Let's see. A flail of bolts come flying out. Graf manages to do some fancy footwork, dodging 2 of the bolts. Scrappy seems to mimic his master, also dodging 2 bolts. The Warforged that stands up heads towards Graf, tries to swing with his arm blades. Graf seems to have his fleet of foot today as he's dodging bolts and arm blades left and right. Graf.
With his last ounce of concentration, he's like, whoa now, and he dodges the attack, but also kind of lightning bends the multicolored swirling ring of lightning along with the movement of the Warforged. And just one more good push. And in fact, he's going to really hope this kills this fucking Warforged. So he rolls 14, hero point. All right, that's +5, so that would be a 19.
You see this Warforged resisting your magical energy and you just give him one of your Graf looks and it penetrates his armor. Roll for damage.
Yes.
All right, that's 5 more damage.
He jolts with your electricity, but he's standing strong.
I'm going to dismiss the lightning, reach a hand up and just to the sky, rumble of thunder, the sound of 1,000 boulders as the spell dissipates toward the ceiling. And I look at Scrappy and say, kill. He is going to use 3 missiles. So spike force empowered missile. He's going to launch these spikes from his back straight at this.
They'll be rolled with disadvantage in melee attack.
Oh, and he could back up, but then he would get an attack of opportunity, right?
Correct.
Cool. He's going to do that anyway. He's going to back up 10 feet.
The Warforged doesn't attack.
All right. And now he uses 3 of the force empowered missiles, launching the spikes off of his own back. 12. Another one's a 22. And a 16.
2 of the bolts penetrate its armor. Roll for damage for those 2.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
The other one flies stray.
Cool. 8 force damage. And 6 force damage. 14 force damage.
They penetrate the hides of the Warforged and it crumples down under its own weight.
With my last bit of movement, I'll say, all right, Scrappy, time to mosey. And then I'll just quickly comment, hey, Garam, where are you?
I feel this weird voice in the back of my head, and I immediately shoo it away, and I dash into the message center.
as a volley of arrows from the musk perfumery penetrate the walls and floor around you as you're running through the plaza of the Fireweave Bazaar. You're jumping and skipping over debris and dust as war rages around you. These Warforged have such a fervor against whatever is in this House Civis message station. Erd, as you bust into the House Civis message station, you can see scraps of paper strewn about, some figures in the darkness. You can feel the presence of your rabble companions coming up against you as they also enter the House Civis message station. And you see a figure you recognize. It seems like the weight of the world is resting on her shoulder. Her face looks worn, her eyes wrinkled. As she looks over you guys, she just has this confused look about her, the days of the Mornland. She grins, her iconic grin, the copper face of Kali Alaron. Huh? It's about time you guys made it. Who are you again?
This is Season 2 of Eberron Chronicles, Oracle of War, DM'd by Alex LeFerrier, played by Andrew Gallagher, Ian Selig, and John Selig, and is an Orange Eyes creative work. This is one chapter of Episode 2, The Voice in the Machine by Will Doyle. Written as a D&D Adventurers League campaign. Influence this game and story at EberronChronicles.com. Tune in next week when our adventurers encounter.
Hear, hear. I'll drink to that.
And I cheers and just wink and say to Sire.
Sire, huh? She is a thing of beauty, isn't she?
Sprocket, eh? Meet the rabble. As he looks to Graphic Garam.
We're old friends of Kali's.
We came here for you guys. The Grey Dogs.
I have some bad news.
Kali, what have you got for me today?
No, couldn't have been. He was with Thervo.
No shit.
They were together.
This thing is really off-putting.
Dogs tend to find their way back home anyway, right?
Smart ones do.
Well, let's hope he's one of them, huh?
I'm guessing he's dead.
Seems like you like this adventure a little too much.
I'll drink to that, my friend.
Please rate and subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us out. Email the show directly at speakingstone@eberronchronicles.com. You are our dragon shards, and keep this show powered.